This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Tough, man.
Stop having a blurry, nasty, gross camera, man.
Maybe your glasses are dirty.
I'm here for the betterment of everybody. And also, why do I only hear you out of one ear? Oh, there we go. It's because I didn't do it right. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio, and we are two crystal clear guys hanging out on the air and on the stream. Welcome in the four most electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment that you will find anywhere. Start now. Last night, I hosted BetMGM Tonight. And there were like three things that happened that we will talk about at various points throughout the evening. But I wanted to open with this because I liked it. First, though, we had a discussion to wrap up the show. Mario was not a huge fan. We'll find out how he really felt about it tomorrow when he joins the show. But Ryan Horvath, when we got to the end of the show, said, Rob Brown, I'd like to talk to you about John Cena's heel turn in the promos he's been cutting lately. So he subjected the audience of the BetMGM network, thousands of radio stations across America, to a solid 11 minutes of my takes on John Cena, and I loved it.
Well, I'm curious, is Horvath, like you, a non-Cena fan the entire time who has no right to talk about Cena now?
So again... That's not how it works. You are not the arbiter of professional wrestling. Number two, Horvath is actually the opposite. He's a guy that said he has always been a face guy, a good guy guy. And then when he had his first child, who is now old enough to be a wrestling fan, that now he's like double face guy, right? Because he's like, I want my kid to listen to the good guys so that I have to parent him less. And I'm like, I understand and respect that. But he's like me in that he's like, you know, Cena's kind of right, right? He's got a point. Like he's more in line with reality now than he ever has been. Great, great conversation.
Cena was always good. He was actually always great, much like Roman Reigns. You shouldn't get the turn and go, oh, I like Cena now. You are the person specifically that Cena is talking about.
Correct.
And which is why you have no right to even speak of Cena. And I will let him know.
I can and I do.
I will let him know.
But
because he was one of the first celebrities to follow me on X when I joined X.
He also hilariously, I find out a couple of days ago, because I think John Cena just like follows a random number of people who interact with him every day.
Listen,
also follows about 600 porn accounts on Twitter.
Don't you try to to downplay.
I'm not downplaying.
I was going to say poo-poo, but I ain't doing that. Don't you try to downplay the fact that, Cena, and I believe
even, it's a great follow.
Even comment. You know, it's one of those things where my daughter even said when she got on X and started to follow me that the first thing that shows up is other people that follow you, and it was John Cena.
It's a great follow. I mean, it's a great follow, but he also follows like 600 porn accounts. So I'm just saying, like,
how do you know that?
Because people on the internet are weird and they go look at stuff.
So did you go and count yourself?
No.
So you're taking the word of
somebody screen capped from his Twitter account, his follow mentions. Somebody went and looked up like a keyword that showed particular ladies' regions on their bodies, and then looked at the accounts that Cena follows, and there's a lot of them. All right. But again, he's a heel, so I'm all on board with that. But that's not what I'm getting to. We're going to come to that tomorrow, because tomorrow is Fight Club at 9:20 with the great Milonzo. The second thing.
Our biggest battles, by the way, are going to be about Cena forever now.
That's fine.
So, I mean.
That's fine, because I'm right. The second thing that we talked about that I want to get to is I don't know about you. I was really jacked up about the Jimmy Butler revenge game last night. The Golden State Warriors taking on the Miami Heat.
Wait, so? It's Jimmy Butler.
I mean, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, do you think he's above mid-tier?
Yes, I do.
I don't. What's he ever won?
Horvat had a great take, and I think it's a great take. His take was, great player, but will never be the best player on a championship team. And I think that's a very fair take. I think Jimmy Butler's the guy that you pair up with a Giannis, you pair up with a Steph. No Steph Curry last night.
So he's basically Chris Bosh, and which is fine. It's okay to be Chris Bosh, but you're not great.
I would also point out, though, like the legacy of Jimmy Butler, and this is also not the thing I was coming to, but it is since we're here. I think part of the legacy of Jimmy Butler you got to keep an eye on is Jimmy Butler in the playoffs is a different breed of cat. Jimmy Butler's averaging 17 per game in the regular season, but he averages like 28 in the playoffs. For whatever reason, he turns it on in the playoffs. That's why the Heat have been in the playoffs and good.
I know you're going to yell at me, but okay, how many championships has that got him?
Again, like to me, much like with quarterbacks in the NFL, that is a piece of the conversation.
Yeah, well, you can go back in any sport and find someone that scored a lot of points and was better in the playoff but never won a championship.
Sure.
And they would be also Rands and second-tier players that people mention in trivia. And that's what he's going to be unless he wins a championship.
No, see, that I and again, we'll come back to this later on, because I despise that take. I despise that take. That the only thing that allows you to reach the echelon of great is championship rings, as if this is if the NBA was one-on-one, then yes, I would agree with you, but it's not.
Do you
it's
understand not. That I'm speaking historically? In the here and now, I get it that people are like, oh yeah, it's Jimmy Butler, but 20 years from now, he will just be a stat because he has not risen
to
championship
just
caliber.
Just like Karl Malone, average player. John Stockton leads the league in assists all time, probably never going to be broken. Average player.
Okay.
Allen Iverson, average player.
All right. So, Allen Iverson for sure. But as far as
Reggie Miller.
If you hold records or are somewhere near the top, people are going to know who you are. Where is Jimmy Butler as far as records go? You don't know because mediocre player.
Jimmy Butler's a good player. I'm not arguing that he's not going to be a threat to make the all-time greatest.
By the way,
list. He's
in the NBA. He's an excellent basketball player. The bench players are better than anyone at your Y, okay? They just are. Even though that one guy thinks he could, I can make it.
The G League players are better than anyone that you know.
Absolutely.
So, we'll come back to that because I was...
Unless you know Zion, because he was from around... Or Kevin Garnett, because he's... There's a few players around here. You could say that you know those guys.
So, I was all in. I was locked in on the revenge game last night, and I misread that entirely. And I want to talk about that because I think there's something to be said about that. But, in the third hour of the show on BetMGM tonight last night, and if any of you psychopaths were up that late listening to sports talk radio... And are here this AM, you probably heard this, but we were having story time with Ryan and Rob. We were just kind of like goofing off and talking about generic stuff, and Horvat like stopped the show and he's like, yo, actually, Rob Brown, I wanna ask you something. And I was like, yeah, fire away. And he goes, if I come visit South Carolina, if I come visit the area, can I stay with you? And I was like,
whoa.
Yeah, why?
Whoa.
I was like, yeah, whoa. Why? And all right, hang on. Like, same reaction. I was like, well, that's weird. I've never met Ryan Horvath in person. I've hosted, 100 shows with him. I'm on his show every single week. Like, last night I would have done a weekly guest spot with him, but I was hosting the show. And so Ryan and I text. We're buddies. Like, we text back and forth in weekly, day to day. He's a great guy. I love Ryan, but I've never met him in person, which is kind of out of the blue.
Good. It's a good move on his part. You save money. I mean, you don't have to pay for a hotel.
Sure. Ryan, absolutely, buddy. I got an extra bedroom. Come on down. But can I ask what makes you say that? And he said, yeah. He said, the more that I am getting ready for football season right now, like, the more, because Ryan's a football guy first and foremost, right? Like, we talked a bunch of March Madness last night, and last night we opened the show with Russell Wilson's a Giant now. It's Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston in the battle of who's going to give the better pregame prayer. I can't wait to watch this team next year with those two guys fighting for QB1. So we opened with Russell Wilson, and then we had Stephon Diggs sign with the Patriots, and then we had a draft expert on. We talked draft. Like, Ryan's a football guy first. And because Bradley Evans, the other host of that show on the regular, is a college basketball guy above all else, and he's the lead on that show. Like, it's been a college basketball show for like 2 months now. And so when I showed up last night, Ryan was like, dude, I'm jacked you're here. I get to talk more football than basketball. I was like, yeah, let's go. So we got to talking some college football yesterday. And Ryan said, the more it is that I watch, the more that I start getting prepped, the more I'm following, we got spring practice firing up around the country for college football programs right now. He said, the more I'm kind of getting into the Palmetto Bowl as one of the best rivalries in college football. And I was like, yeah, man, like I same boat. I didn't know how deep and how true this rivalry was. We had a conversation earlier in the show about John Shire, the head coach at Duke. I asked the question on the show, is this the least hateable Duke basketball team in a long time? Right? Like, there's a lot of Duke teams. I hate them. I don't hate this team. I like this Duke team. Like, they're fun to watch. And we brought Mario into the discussion, who is a North Carolina fan. And he's like, no, I hate them. They stink. John Shire should be punched in the face because he has a punchable face. Like, Mario was just a hater last night. Well, again, it's a rivalry game. So we were talking about that, and he said, the more I've paid attention from the outside in, the more I've had you on this show, Ryan Horvath listens to us every single morning. He goes on a jog because he's one of those people that, like, is in shape and healthy and cares about his fitness and whatnot. He said, I listen to you every morning.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It doesn't. I hate it. I really do. Hey, 218, by the way. 218 is of this morning. He said, I listen to you in the morning. I feel good. He said, I listen to you in the morning, and the more I listen to you, and I listen to the text that you read on the live stream and all that, he's like, the more I'm realizing this Palmetto Bowl might be one of the best rivalries in college football that's never listed towards the top of the greatest rivalries in college football. And I was like, yeah, you're exactly right. And he said, I have a Dabo story that I want to tell you. And I said, great. And he said, I had a buddy who was getting recruited high level to go play college football. And one of the schools that was recruiting him was Clemson. And he said, Dabo, according to his buddy, was great through the whole process. And he decided to go play football elsewhere. He said, well, he got married. And it turned out that Dabo was like 30, 40 minutes away on a recruiting trip from wherever this guy got married. This was like the year after he got recruited. He was still playing football. And he said that one of his buddies, because he loved Dabo, and he said he was like heartbroken that another school just made more sense for him. Just made more sense for him. So he said he felt real bad. Like, he called Dabo personally to be like, coach, like, thanks for everything, but this other school is closer to my family, and he had some family stuff he had to deal with. And Dabo was like, yeah, no worries. I understand completely. He said, so his buddy wrote Dabo Swinney and was like, hey, this guy's getting married. He loved you. He said you were a big influence on him through the recruiting process and made him want to be a better player and blah, blah, blah. Could you, like, send him an autograph or something and congratulate him on the wedding? And he said Dabo Swinney just showed up at the wedding. Like, he just happened to be in the hood, and he showed up and stayed the whole time. Like, talked to the guy like he was BFFs with him. And Ryan was like, I really, really like Dabo Swinney. I've got all these stories that I've gathered in this broadcasting career, and I really like this guy. And I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. So you want to come down and go to Clemson? He goes, no. I want to come down and watch Lenora Sellers play because that guy's winning the Heisman next year, and I want to watch him beat Clemson. That was very loud. I was not prepared for it, and also very appropriate in the moment. Ryan Horvath told me he has already got a ticket out on Lenora Sellers to win the Heisman Trophy next year and wants to come down for the Palmetto Bowl, wants to come down for the rivalry game, wants to do the show. He was like, I'll come in and host your show with you one day if you'll let me. I want to come down, and I want to go to Clemson, South Carolina, A, so I can see it, because I've heard it's a wonderful rivalry, and B, because I think Lenora Sellers is going to be, and I'm going to paraphrase, but I'm getting pretty close to the quote, because I believe Lenora Sellers is going to be the best quarterback in college football next year. Quote, end quote. The hype is real, dude. The hype is real. This was on March 25th. We are well north of 100 and whatever days left until the college football season kicks off, and the host of a nationally syndicated network is telling me he has already got Lenoris on a ticket to win the Heisman, believes he's going to be the best quarterback in college football this season, wants to come down and watch him play just so he can see, wants to see both campuses. He's like, I want to go over and I want to see Columbia. I want to go to Clemson, two schools I've never gotten to go to. I want to tour the stadiums. I want to do the whole thing. And I'm like, well, you know, a guy who knows a guy can make that happen. He goes, and I want to see Lenoris Sellers play in person because I'm a believer and I think he's going to be the best quarterback in college football this year. It's March 25th. We're talking college football, and my man, hosting a nationally syndicated program, is all in on pimping the Gamecocks as a contender this year.
Yeah, Clemson fans are sticking their fingers in their ears right now, going, Tiger, 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 so they don't hear anything that you just said.
Tiger, 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 Tiger. That's what I'm going to do from now on when somebody says I don't want to hear something. Tiger, 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 Tiger. That's that's more of an Ed Orgeron thing, though. Tiger, 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 Tiger.
Well, it could be.
Go Tigers.
Could also be a Tiger Woods fan. I don't know. A lot of Tigers out there. Could be a Tony the Tiger. I don't know.
Tiger, 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 Tiger. I'm really, I want Ed Orgeron back in football just because I feel like I'm wasting my number one impression. Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, because it's been a couple years, so now people just think, well, what's that weird thing that you're.
Yeah, now more people think I'm Farmer Fran from The Water Boy than real-life Farmer Fran Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, you're too. We can understand what you're saying, Farmer Fran. A little bit harder to understand. There you go.
All right, we got a lot we got to get to. I just wanted to bring that up because my dude, my guy, Ryan Horvath, on March 25th, laid out Lenoris for Heisman and the Gamecocks as a playoff contender in the SEC next year. Boy, howdy, college football. Can't get here fast enough. However, we are 30 hours and 44 minutes away from Major League Baseball opening day. I got to wait till 3 p.m. tomorrow for first pitch. That hurts my feelings, but I'm willing to do it. So we're going to talk AL and NL today. We'll do previews of the divisions. I'll give you my World Series picks. I'll give you my NL and AL MVP, Cy Young winners, etc. That's coming up later on in the show. Obviously, as mentioned, we got to talk NFL because we had a couple big moves go down last night. We're going to break down how they impact the league as a whole. We got to talk some college basketball. I was thinking about it last night. Do you understand? If you're in the tournament because you want entertainment, not great basketball, there's some really, really, really interesting possible future matchups in the tourney. We're going to talk about that and more. It is the great one, Lonzo, crystal clear on the stream this morning. It is me, Rob Brown. You are listening to the Rob Brown Show. You are listening to the Fan Upstate.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app. or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know how to define when somebody has brought it or is bringing it or in the process of bringing it. I just know when I see somebody who has brought it.
I've heard the term before. I don't know why it comes to mind right now, but I'm just curious.
That's what Dwayne used to say all the time. Just bring it. That was a Dwayne thing back in the day.
Does the final boss not do that anymore?
I don't think so. Like, he, for a while, he was rocking a shirt that it had like a mock of the NASCAR logo, but it said just bring it instead of NASCAR. But it was like the NASCAR logo, but it said, I never really understood that. But then again, it's not my job to understand the final boss, all right? It's not.
He's wrestled once in a year. I mean, I don't, if you just brought it, well,
over 50.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, if you just brought it, I'm not sure he can handle it.
Hey, speaking of, do we...
No confirmation yet. I got no response back. I will pursue it again today.
Obviously, we're talking about the...
Yeah, the
one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we are.
Lonzo and I may, hopefully, fingers crossed, fingers, toes, and all available appendages crossed.
If we do secure that guest, we'll make the announcement tomorrow on the Fight Club.
I'm so hesitant. Here's the thing. I am on a streak right now.
Oh, no, I get it. I absolutely get it.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna test that theory right now, okay? I'm going to test this theory. And I'm going to test our theory here at my own peril. Great one. I have this theory right now that while the Rob Brown Show rub is real, right? The rub is real. You come on this show, good things happen. And I've been accused of stealing Jim Rome shtick, of the Rome karma thing, whatever.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. I've been accused of stealing. I'm telling you, I'm not. If you look at the history of guests that have come on this radio program, almost all of them go on to hit a career milestone or win a championship or whatever. And it's predominantly pro wrestlers. But we have pro athletes on here as well that have come on and then they've gone on to win a championship or an MVP or whatever. Like the Rob Brown Show over 17 years, the Rob Brown Show rub has been, it's still real to me, damn it, right? However, there's the opposite side of this coin, which is anytime... almost exclusively, and this is terrible for me as a host, because you want to be able to hype stuff. Anytime that I have announced a guest in advance, like half the time that guest ends up having to cancel or reschedule or something. It happened last week, and it's not his fault. I actually got on the phone with his manager that afternoon, and I found out what happened, and it wasn't anything within the player's control, and I will be... and I'm testing the theory here, making up for it today, because last Wednesday, the great one and I were supposed to sit down and interview new Carolina Panther running back Rico Dowdle, who comes over from the Dallas Cowboys. He's an Asheville guy, played his ball for the Cox. Like, I was really excited. And then about 20 minutes after he was supposed to call in for the interview and he hadn't showed up, I got a call. I was on the drive home, and I just left the parking lot, and I got a call from his agent that was like, look, here's what happened. Nothing bad, but it was just something that, like, it's, you know, something pro athletes have to deal with, and we'll reschedule. And I was like, great. No worries. But that morning on the show, I had hyped up that later in the afternoon, the great one and I were going to be interviewing former Gamecock turned Dallas Cowboy turned Carolina Panther Rico Dowdle. And then he ended up having something come up in his training regime that caused an issue. Not an injury or anything. I'm not breaking any news. It was just a little personal issue he had to delay. Well, I got the call yesterday. Rico Dowdle is going to be interviewed today at 1 p.m. So we'll jump on the horn with Rico Dowdle at 1 p.m. today, and we will have that interview for you tomorrow. Now, I don't know if it's a real testing of the theory, because it's a reschedule, not a Rob Brown Show debut, right? Like, ordinarily, this is pretty limited to Rob Brown Show debuts, that if I announce it on the air, something comes up and that interview falls through and it has to be like rescheduled or whatever. But I'm going to put the theory to the test here. We are at 1 p.m. today interviewing Rico Dowdle, new Carolina Panther running back, and we will have that interview for you tomorrow on the show. I'm actually really excited about it because Rico Dowdle had a good year last year, over 1,000 yards rushing, just 3 touchdowns, 5 if you include the receiving touchdowns. Actually, I think it was 2 rushing, 3 receiving. But 5 touchdowns, 1,000 yards on the ground, just about 400 yards receiving. And that was on a Cowboys offense that was missing their starting quarterback, had some issues, and has CeeDee Lamb on it. So, like, I think those numbers could actually go up with Bryce Young looking for his running backs, with Dave Canales, I think, having a better grip on how to use running backs than any of the last 2 or 3 Panthers head coaches. I think Rico Dowdle could be a revelation to the league this year, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. So, we're going to test the theory that the Rob Brown Show bump is real, because if Rico Dowdle has a career year this year in Carolina, I'm going to chalk it up to coming on the show. But I'm testing the other side, which is the Rob Brown Show curse, which is if I hype an interview before it happens, sometimes it falls apart. We'll see. If Rico calls in at 1 o'clock, we get him on the air, then at least we can say we've tested that variable. We'll find out. But I'm very excited about it. All right, speaking of the NFL, yesterday Russell Wilson signs a 1-year deal to become QB1, probably. He's got to beat out Jameis Winston, to become QB1 for the New York Giants. It comes about a week after Jameis signs his.
I am rooting so hard for Jameis.
I know you are, because you're a member of the Haters Ball.
No. It's just... You love Jameis. Now, I'm sure you were rooting for Jameis, but now your guy's coming in, and suddenly you're no longer rooting for Jameis?
Whoa. Hang on.
It was implied.
No. Hang on one rootin' tootin' gosh darn second here. Let me be very clear. Russell Wilson's not my guy. He's not my guy. In fact, quite the opposite. I have made fun of Russell Wilson probably more than any other host on this or any show.
But at the same time, you've defended him not as much as Bryce, but pretty close.
No. What I have said is, I think, all right, the Russell Wilson I've made fun of is the corny, goofy, plastic, manufactured, off-the-field Russell Wilson. He's a dude that I genuinely feel is 24/7, 365 thinking about branding, which it's 2025. I understand it. So am I. You've got to understand that, like, when I'm on Twitter, every time I punch up a tweet, I have conditioned myself to the last thing before I push send. The last thing I think is, how is this going to impact my job and my career? Right? Now, I have received permission from the powers that be here at the Radio Ranch and up through the ladder. I have been told we're a little less prudent, strict about our personalities on Twitter than we are on the air. So, like, yeah, I'll drop the occasional F-bomb on Twitter. I'll say the occasional outlandish thing on Twitter that I would not say on the radio program. But at the same time, if you follow me on Twitter, and you did back first when I moved here to now, there's a lot of things you've probably seen change. As much as I personally enjoy talking politics, and I'll talk politics with anybody, whether we agree or disagree, I like talking politics because to me it's an extension of talking philosophy. And I like that. I'm entertained by that. But I've pretty much stopped doing that on social media because I've also come to the realization that as much as I don't like this, there are people out there who are incapable of separating a person's political views from your perspective of them as a person, right? And that's disappointing to me that there are people out there who have said, Rob, I'm not listening to your show anymore because you said this about a politician or a policy or whatever. So I've quit that. But I do have to, every time I'm going to push send on a tweet or whatever, I got to think about the brand. Because it's 2025. Everything's about the brand. In fact, I'm gonna play a clip for you later from Austin Rivers that I agree with the take, but I think he missed something. It's about recruits going to a school. I want to get into that. But Russell Wilson doesn't just only think about the brand,
But his brand is like cheesy, man. It's corny. It's lame. Even I don't say that about people unless they're like way over the top.
Is it specific to a certain demographic that you don't understand?
No, not at all. I think I know which demographic you're talking about, but the answer is no, because there's a lot of players that fit a lot of demographics that I don't have a problem. In fact, quite the opposite, that I do like. It's just the whole, like, here's the thing. If you're going to drop a tag like, let Ross cook, Broncos country, let's ride, like, you got to have some riz. If you have charisma and aura and, like, you're just a lot, like, I'm good. Jameis is literally the proof of that, right? Like, Jameis Winston went through some stuff. He had some off-the-court issues. There's question marks about some of it still. But I also think that Jameis, who subscribes to a lot of philosophical takes that I just don't, is also a dude that I'm like, this guy's entertaining as hell. This guy's fun to watch. He's out there in New Orleans leading the second line down the street with a brass band, knocking back beignets, and I'm like, that's my dog, that's my guy. Russ is out there selling lame-ass cookware and like being boring doing it. So it's not been a defense of Russell Wilson. However, I did believe, as a knower of ball, that Russell Wilson starting for the Steelers over Justin Fields last year was the right call. I would also like to say to finish that thought, the Steelers letting Justin Fields go was the dumbest thing that they've done. In 16 years of not winning a playoff game, the dumbest thing the Steelers have done is bring in Justin Fields, give him a year to get the Chicago stank off, develop him, and then let him go. That was dumb as hell. No, because Justin Fields should have been the future of Pittsburgh.
It's completely understandable. They made the mistake of dividing the locker room. So if they leave one and let another one go, then they say they were wrong about making the decision they did when they let Russell Wilson start. They had to let him go to keep the locker room.
I completely disagree with you for two reasons.
Doesn't mean you're right.
I'm not saying it does. I'm saying I disagree with you. I'm saying, number one, I walk into the locker room and I go, hey, we made a decision. We're the management. You're the employees. That's it. And you know me.
Wow.
You know me.
Wow.
Hang on. You know me. I'm player guy first. Almost always, player guy first. But I also understand that I got 50 on game days in the fall. I got 53 guys in there that I need to operate as a team, which means they need a supervisor or a manager, guy at the top that pulls everything together. And that guy, head coach, general manager, as a crew, need to be able to walk into a locker room and go, we made a decision that we believe was best for the team, and if that's a problem for you, you can follow Justin and get the hell up out of here. Okay? You can go too. Justin Fields need, and this is how I'd phrase it to the team, in our opinion, things went so bad for Justin Fields with the Chicago Bears, we wanted to give him a year on the bench to get that experience out and give him the Pittsburgh Steeler experience to be the best quarterback he could be. We believe we have done that, and he's our starter this year and made that the move.
That wouldn't work because he started and he won. If he had stayed on the bench the entire time, what you just said would have worked. But because he started and was winning and then got benched, that's what helped divide the locker room.
Maybe so. I'm still, because if Mike Tomlin never had a losing season, if Mike Tomlin is this great leader that he's supposed to be at Pittsburgh, he should be able to walk in the locker room and go, I know some of you do not approve of how we handled Russell Wilson and Justin Fields last year. That's irrelevant. You're not the coach I am. And if that's a problem to you, there's the door. You can go too. That's manageable in my opinion. They made a mistake, and now they lost Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. You know who that means the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have a quarterback next year?
It's only a mistake because you know who's coming and you don't like them. That's why it's a mistake.
Justin Fields or Aaron Rodgers right now, who are you signing?
Aaron Rodgers.
For right now,
no. I'm signing Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Justin Fields is the future. You think I'm just, because of, he's from Ohio State, I was going to pick him automatically? No, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers because Pittsburgh needs just a little bit more at quarterback and they would have went further last year.
Oh, we are going to talk about that. I didn't know we were going to do a Rodgers v. Fields segment, but now we are.
That's what you want. So, I mean,
it is now.
Yeah, and I'll be right.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into that. We'll talk about Russell Wilson to the Giants. There's another quarterback that I think should be in the fold that isn't, but should be. We'll talk about that. And both Carolina and Clemson losing midweek baseball series, games last night. We'll address that more coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Russell Wilson, a new member of the New York Giants. He will join Jameis Winston in the QB room there in the Big Apple. Opposite metropolitan New York will be Justin Fields, the new QB1 of the New York Football Jets. It leaves the Pittsburgh Steelers in a situation where they effectively have three options remaining for their quarterback spot next year. Option number one is they go draft a quarterback, but that is going to require one of two things. Either hanging out towards the bottom of the first round, hoping Jackson Dart falls to you. And this is really weird because Jackson Dart, yesterday we were talking NFL draft, and so I was kind of like doing an amalgamation of mock drafts from a bunch of different talking heads just to kind of see what the vibe was, because obviously quarterbacks are the most important position in the National Football League. And I saw mock drafts with Jackson Dart coming off the board as high as 6, 7, 8, 9. I saw a bunch of drafts with my New Orleans Saints taking him, which I despise. We've already got Jackson Dart on the bench. His name is Spencer Rattler. Okay. And I saw him as low as 26th to the LA Rams as the backup to Matt Stafford down the line. If you're the Steelers, you're hoping that one's correct and he's available. Or you got to trade a bunch of draft resources. And the Steelers aren't poor, but they don't have a ton. They wouldn't be able to do much building after that. And I'm kind of at the point now where I'm subscribing to the Howie Roseman philosophy of I'm not drafting a quarterback. Even if it's believed to be a franchise guy, I'm not drafting a quarterback until I can build a line in front of him. So this is why, by the way, the New England Patriots signed Stephon Diggs, so they can use, watch Patriots fans meltdown on draft day, so they can use a top 10 pick on an offensive lineman. Probably the kid out of Missouri. We'll talk about that later too, because it's about time to start putting up some weekly mock drafts. So, I'm not there for the Steelers. Option number two is they can sign Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm not saying, although I don't think he will be, that Aaron Rodgers will fail in Pittsburgh. What I am saying is, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that for the past 16 years have been an inept second half of the season offense for one reason or the next. That's just been it. You can blame it on Russell Wilson last year, cool, but I can go back to the last couple of years of Ben Roethlisberger, and you can see the Steelers, and this bothers me, and I'm going to say what I said to Alonzo during the break on the air here in a second. Even going back to Ben, you would have a team that would get to that winning season mark, and then for whatever reason, they throttle down or they get figured out annually or whatever. They just backslide the second half of the season into the playoffs. The problem I have with that is that I don't know, even though he did for the Jets, I have to give Aaron Rodgers credit where credit is due. The second half of the season last year, Aaron Rodgers was a better quarterback. Not great, but better. Numbers were solid. Not great, but solid second half of the year. That is historically where the Steelers screw up. Now, maybe that's a match made in heaven. Maybe that's a match made in heaven. Maybe the Steelers have a quarterback who gets better as the year goes on, and that's the solution to the issue that they've had the last 16 years running. Where Trey popped up in the chat, and he said the Steelers are the Dallas Cowboys of the AFC. And I'm going to tell you what, I am good with that. Let me tell you why I like that comparison. Because annually, I get told Steelers are back, Steelers are back, Steelers are back. They never are. They haven't won a playoff game in 16 seasons or whatever. What is it? 60, whatever number it is. Ridiculous number of seasons. And annually, they get to not having a losing season, and then they show you what they really are, which is like, okay, right? And what I said to Alonzo during the break was, it bothers me, the Steelers do. It bothers me so much, I think, because of that narrative. That narrative is just driven into the ground every year. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers under Mike Tomlin have never had a losing season. Okay. And what has that done?
Which is why you can't compare them to Dallas, because they have, including last year. So, I mean,
I think the comparison is that
I finally found a team that you just don't like, which is, and I don't know that you dislike the team, but you dislike the narrative, and you're blaming the team for the narrative. You're blaming the coach for the narrative. You're blaming the players for the narrative when the media is the one who came up with the narrative.
It doesn't. It again. First off,
and all they're doing is talking about a stat, and you're a stat guy, so you think you'd be okay with them quoting a stat every year
as the media, as a member of the lamestream media. Let me fill you in on something. The lamestream media talks about and covers whatever their audience is going to react to and pay attention to, buddy. And that is from the top to the bottom. I come in here and we crack this mic and I focus on, now there are segments I will acknowledge, I talk about stuff that I want to talk about, U.S. soccer. The four nations face off, whatever. That's stuff I want to talk about. I know hockey doesn't resonate. I said this to Ryan last night. I know hockey doesn't resonate to a large group of the country, but I also believe if I could expose more people to hockey, it would, because it's a great sport. But I also recognize that takes time. But the majority of the stuff that we focus on here on the show is stuff that y'all react to. The Steelers have never had a losing season narrative is a narrative because people follow it. Steelers fans follow it as if it matters, as if it means something, and the rest of the country follows it because they get exhausted by it. Doesn't matter why you click on it, it matters that you click on it, and it is clicked on.
Wow, you talk for the rest of the country. Way to go, you.
I've been doing this 17 years. I know how the game works.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I just do. I understand how to get attention. It's my job, literally. You talk about, you focus on, you write about, you cover that which fans react to. It's all that matters. It's the brand, baby. So, I think that's why this whole thing about the Steelers bothers me. I think the other thing is, I look at decisions that have been made by that football team for the past couple of years, and I see a football team, much like the Dallas Cowboys, that just continues to find new and impressive ways to go against their own interest. New and impressive ways to go against that which would make their ball club better. So, when I talk about, I have given you two of the three possibilities for what the Steelers could do for quarterback next year, because they are in the playoff picture right now. They are good enough to be a playoff team. The third thing they could do, and I'm going to get to this later, I don't know if it'll be today or when we get closer to the draft. I think the San Francisco 49ers should trade Brock Purdy. I don't know if that's a hot take or not. He's got 1 year left on his deal. They're paying him $5 million. He is going to get, from somebody next year, a major, major contract. I would trade Brock Purdy for a King's ransom right now. The problem is, there's really only one team left that needs a guy, and it is the Steelers, and I don't know that they would go make that move. But that is the option. That is an option that is on the table for that team. Like I said, to me, the Steelers screwed the pooch. And the Steelers screwed the pooch because Justin Fields was already in the locker room. That's the guy you go with. That's the guy you bring in. That's the guy you elevate to QB1. You look and you go, look, the plan was always for Justin Fields to come in, to spend 1 year getting the Chicago off of him. 1 year genuinely having, because again, when he got drafted to Chicago, that team was a dumpster fire. And they did not get better until he left. And they went and they got DJ Moore and they got DeAndre Swift and they got all these players. Cole Kmet. They got all these players after Justin Fields left. But up until that point, they stank. Their coach was stank. Their OC was stank. Their administration is stank. Their ownership is stank. Justin Fields never had a chance. I believe that. There are young quarterbacks that I point at and I go, that guy never had a chance to succeed in that franchise. Justin Fields is in that group. Never had a chance to succeed in Chicago, and yet still had some impressive moments there. Up until this year, we're going to talk about this later because Sean McVay had some nice things to say about the new GM of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe Trevor Lawrence was placed in Jacksonville, and up until this year, and this is a make or break year for TL16, has not been put in a scenario where he can succeed, a scenario where he can get some numbers, but not truly succeed. Justin Fields is maybe the poster child of that group for me, of quarterbacks, young quarterbacks. Bryce Young was that. I said the whole time BY's been in Charlotte, I'm like, you guys are You're zoning in on the quarterback and you're not looking at the big picture. The big picture is that this franchise is on fire and you dropped Bryce Young in the middle of it with a bucket of water and expecting him to put it out. That's not enough.
Okay, so on fire as in bad.
As in bad, as in a dumpster fire.
Because there for a second I was like, what?
Yes, as in the franchise was a dumpster fire and you asked a rook quarterback to save it. That's not how it works, okay? Justin Fields was right there for the Steelers. You gave him that year. He got to sit. He got to watch. He got to learn from a quarterback, a vet, a 10-time Pro Bowler, regardless of how you feel about him, a 10-time Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl winner, about how to be QB1. And he was right there for the taking, and you decided to move on, which I think is foolish. And if you asked me right now, if you gave me the chance, and I'll even go team-specific, if I am the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you gave me the choice right now, there's two contracts on the table in front of me. One of them is a deal for Justin Fields, and one of them is a deal for Aaron Rodgers. I'm taking the deal for Justin Fields because Aaron Rodgers gives me a one-year stopgap. And where am I next year? Right back to needing to find a quarterback, and they will be more expensive. And while I do think next year's quarterback class in the draft will probably be better than this one, I don't think it's going to be chock-a-block full of future franchise QBs. Mainly because this one, I don't think has a future franchise quarterback in it. I might be wrong about Shador. I might be wrong about Cam. I might be wrong about Jackson Dart. I don't think any of them are future franchise guys. I think they can all be good. I think they all might be good enough to win a Super Bowl. I don't think they're franchise quarterbacks. So Pittsburgh's going to be in a spot, if they have to go with Aaron Rodgers, where they're right back next year where they are today. And my question mark is, if you bring in Aaron Rodgers and you get second half of last year Aaron Rodgers for all of this year, are the Steelers a Super Bowl team? My answer is no. No. Now, they got better with DK Metcalf opposite George Pickens. There's going to be some weapons there. They can run the ball with Najee. Like, they got a good little decent squad. Mid-pack offensive
line.
Would
they have been a Super Bowl team if they kept Russell Wilson?
No, I don't think so. And I don't know if they would have been one with Justin Fields. But what I do know is with Justin Fields, I could have signed that kid to a five-year contract and had my guy in the locker room and drafted around him instead of bringing in Aaron Rodgers, having no idea what my draft strategy is, and being right back in this position again next year. That's my only point. With Justin Fields, who, by the way, as you pointed out, great one, was winning last year. Would you say 4-2?
Yeah, he was 4-2.
4-2 through six. 4-2. He was winning. To the point that I'm not even, like, the best part about this conversation is that Lonzo is correct in saying probably did divide the locker room by taking a quarterback who was 4-2 and had that team playing well and sitting him on the bench for a guy coming off of a knee injury that kept him out for a quarter of the season. Great one's probably correct. Nope, definitely correct about that. However, I understood the move. That was always the plan. They subscribed to the QB1 doesn't lose his job to injury. I don't agree with that philosophy, but that's clearly what they did. And you had the guy on the bench, probably, I would like to think. Now, there is the possibility that Justin Fields didn't want to come back to Pittsburgh because he was 4-2 and they benched him. Anyway, you know what? Screw you guys.
Yeah,
I don't want to be here.
That would, I think, be the attitude of most people.
I wouldn't blame him
especially
if he did.
Especially competitive people.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame him if he did. And if that was the reality of Justin Fields, then none of this conversation matters. Right? If he just said, screw you guys, I was 4-2, I was winning for you, and you benched me for a 40-year-old quarterback, and he's 37, you benched me for almost 40-year-old quarterback, so screw you guys, I'm out of here, then none of the rest of this makes sense. But it's like, if I was
according,
a Steelers,
according
I would have
to reports, the Steelers made him an offer which was the same as the Jets, but he went to the Jets anyway.
I would also say this. I would too. Because even though the Jets have been historically a dumpster franchise, I like Aaron Glenn, their new head coach. They have a ton of young offensive skill talent around them. And remember, this was before DK Metcalf came to the Steelers. They were bringing back George Pickens and who else. I actually would have made the same decision as Justin Fields, so I respect him for that.
Well, I have a major question before we go to the... So which stank is more stank? Chicago stank or Jets stank?
That's a real good question about stankiness. I would say based on up until this year, and we'll find out, up until this year, honestly, I think I would have said Chicago stank. I really do. I think the problem in New York, specifically the last 2 years, wasn't the head coach. And Chicago would absolutely, without a question, was. Now, with Ben Johnson, the Chicago offensive coordinator, or Detroit offensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator for the Lions, now it's a foot race. Now it's a foot race for Caleb Williams and Justin Fields. But I think historically, the last couple of years, honestly, I think Chicago was the most embarrassing franchise in the league. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to get your morning started off with the 60 most seductive seconds in sports talk radio, Lonzo Sports Flash.
I have nothing to add because that was completely correct. Four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Stephon Diggs has signed a 3-year, $69 million deal with the New England Patriots. Diggs is rehabbing an ACL tear sustained in Week 8 of last season with the Texans, but was ranked 7th in catches and 2nd in team receiving yards at that point. Alex Ovechkin's pursuit of Wayne Gretzky's all-time scoring record is down to 6 goals after scoring his 889th last night in a 3-2 overtime win over Winnipeg. The goal was Ovechkin's 36th of the year and puts him closer to 40 on the season for the 14th time, the most in NHL history. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel ride shotgun on your drive home and get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, also a whole lot of fun. And you know what? I don't know if you knew this. It's all Wire to Wire.